Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for taking time in your schedule to share these next few moments with me. I've been ministering this week on the Holy Ghost and fire, and that particular phrase is taken from the words of John the Baptist. He was speaking of Jesus, one coming after me, mightier than I am. I'm not worthy to loose his sandals, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And the Holy Ghost is that wonderful third person of the Trinity, who's our comforter, who's our counselor. He guides us and leads us into all truth, but also he is power. He is our God as a consuming fire. And that's when, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was administered, as they were waiting, as the Lord commanded, tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. That's the purpose of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, that we can minister and witness in the power of the Holy Ghost. It transformed those disciples who were fearful and timid and hiding behind closed doors to the powerful preachers that they were. His first sermon, Peter, 3,000 gathered to the church daily. Look at one of the first deacons, Stephen, died as a martyr, preaching and speaking of the wonderful things that God had done. And signs and wonders were accomplished through the deacons. Remember Philip, he went to Samaria. My goodness, there was all many, many wonderful works of God were being accomplished. And that's why God's people need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now, another reason, major reason, why we should be filled with the Holy Spirit is to enable us to walk in the Spirit. And by so doing, we become profitable and honorable servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5 and 16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." And Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also," we have that choice, "let us also walk in the Spirit." In Peter's first sermon, he declared to those who were assembled in Jerusalem that they must obey Christ's command to repent and be baptized to make them ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hear what he said in Acts 2nd chapter, verse 38. "Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And we also have to ask him in Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 32, the Word declares, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him." The baptism of the Holy Ghost can be administered in two ways. One, a sovereign act of the Lord without anyone other than the believer and God. This is called, obviously, a sovereign act of God. And we see that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly they were just waiting on God. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Praise God. And also, we see that wonderful example given also in the book of Acts, and this is the 10th chapter. Do you remember Peter was called to minister to the Gentile Cornelius? And while he was he was welcomed and he began to minister to them. It says in verse 44 of the 10th chapter, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. They weren't even praying for them. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles the gift on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. How did they know that? For, verse 36, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Praise God. So, obviously, it's a sovereign move of God. I mean, they were just so eager and wanting to hear the things that Cornelius in his vision had experienced to send for Peter. That was a sovereign act of God. But also, it can the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be administered by or through a second operation, and that is the laying on of hands. In Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 14, it says, and when the apostles which were at Samaria heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So, how are we to prepare ourselves for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, it takes a humble stance before God, a willingness to repent. Psalm 24 expresses it, verses 3 to 5. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, even he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Luke 11 and 13 tells us that we are to ask our Heavenly Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. If ye then, Jesus said, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Holy Spirit give, the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Obviously, He is referring there to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because once Jesus suffered and died and rose from the dead, then anyone who would receive him, who believed that work that Jesus had come into the flesh, they would be saved. The Holy Spirit would come and into their spirit and make their spirit alive, and that's what means by being born again. And after we have asked our Heavenly Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit, then it's a simple matter of believing that our prayers have been heard. And then we enter into praise, into thanksgiving, and worship through songs of worship. This opens our heart and brings an atmosphere of worship and humility, which is created by our yielding to Him for the presence of the Spirit of God to come. You know, I'm thinking back to an incident. I was sitting talking with a brother, and this was in the IT center down at Duck Valley when I lived down there and was pastoring. And this brother, I guess he was raised Presbyterian, and nonetheless, he had fallen far from the Lord, and God had done a mighty work to deliver him, and he was mightily saved. God transformed his life, and he shared. Now, he didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not a single thing. He was all by himself. He hadn't been instructed. He hadn't been taught, but he just loved God so much. He was praising him, and before he knew what happened, he found himself speaking these words. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't know anything about it. He didn't know what it was, but he knew that that experience was real and genuine. And that was a wonderful testimony that I heard firsthand from this dear brother. Praise God. And so we are to believe that God will answer our prayer. David said, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord," Psalm 134 and 2. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." That's Psalm 104. So we praise God. We yield ourselves to him. And by a breaking within us, if you will, of ourself, and our spirit begins to spring up and respond to the Spirit of God. James 4 and 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." David said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." How's that for a passionate appeal, desiring God? That's Psalm 84 and 2. And David again said in Psalm 51 and 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And so, beloved, as our spirit is broken before the Lord, that is, we are melted and malleable before him, even as soft, malleable clay, the anointed servant of God can lay hands on the people to impart the Holy Spirit. Acts 8 and 17 says, "We find they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." Again, in Acts, the 19th chapter, verse 6, this was Paul ministering to the Ephesians. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" They were believers. And they said, "Whoa, we didn't know anything about anything like what we haven't heard anything about that." And so it said, when they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost, Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And so when the Holy Ghost comes on us, he quickens our tongues and produces the stammering of lips, which will form into syllables or words as we yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah 28:11 says, "For with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to this people." 1 Corinthians 14:21 states, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people." Praise God. And although you'll hear those words, your mind won't understand what you're saying. And as the Holy Spirit moves in us, our words are no longer adequate to praise God. The Holy Spirit then leads us, encourages us, prompts us, but doesn't force us to speak. And even so, when we do begin to speak, the language is spontaneous and fluent and given by the Holy Spirit. Well, beloved, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me, and I'll be praying that as you've heard these words, if you've not received, you'll experience in the privacy of your time with the Lord that wonderful experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I love you. We'll pray for you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.